Reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday Testimony, Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. For those of you able to pick up this program, we've had a couple trying days with technical difficulties, equipment and audio feeds not shaking hands, causing our regular scheduled programming in the Lincoln area, Bloomington, and Macomb, which also feeds our Keokuk, Iowa station, has been playing music, or even our 105.3 FM in Springfield, which carries a different format than WLUJ, that's been silent, and we've been working really hard. Dave Fitch and Steve Griffin, I think, were at the studios yesterday as we tried to problem solve for about 7 or 8 hours, and they'll be back later today. All to say, it's been very trying times, along with the fact that I've had really nasty allergies acting up and a cold for this past week. All to say, I'm re-airing an interview with John Wheeldon from October of 2022, so like 3 years ago, and so it was on a Monday and Tuesday, so you'll hear me talking about having him come back for Testimony Tuesday. Well, disregard some of those comments and the timing of the broadcast, but I think the content will bless you, and we do have copies of his book, so the call-in at the end of the program will still be good, and some of you will get a copy of his book. So here's how the program started.
I have two special guests in the studio with me. Oh, I can't wait to share them with you all. In fact, some of you might remember Mike Hansen. I call him my roomie. He was on a trip to Israel with me many years ago, but we've stayed friends, and I so appreciate him. He was a part of our Ministry Leaders Network luncheon and spoke some months back, but he told me about a friend, and he said, Mark, you got to meet this individual. He's a godly man. He recently wrote a book, and I think you'll be really blessed by getting to know him. And so the book kind of sat in my studio for a few weeks, maybe a month or so, and I'm like, I got so many other things to read. And I finally took it to my bedside, which is where I do most of my show prep and reading, and I was just fascinated by the story. It's kind of a look into his spiritual growth and life lessons learned, and he focuses on family and business and his faith. And there are so many stories that were like encouraging and heartfelt, and he's very transparent, and I just thought, oh, this is really, really good. So today is a result of reading this book and being encouraged by it. And I'm going to have my friend Mike Hansen share, maybe first off, Mike, why you wanted me to read this book and get to know John, and then what you appreciate about him, and then introduce him to our radio listening family.
Yeah, this is such a thrill of mine. And actually having you two meet is a huge thrill of mine. So I am just all joy in watching you guys connect today. You know, I had a financial planning business for 27 years, and I had the privilege of seeing some people, and John is one of these. That's why I wanted you to meet John and for your people to hear John. There's people, and he says it in his book, I like this, Julie and I have seen the beauty and joy of giving to others, that joy factor. And John is an investor, and John's a kingdom investor, and what I think is really beautiful is in God's wisdom, he says, you cannot serve God and money. You're going to love the one and hate the other. And what I've observed with John and Julie is they want to have kingdom impact investments, and they created a really wonderful tool through the company that's a foundation that actually involves the employees and community. So it's a very kingdom impact investment giving mindset. That's what I really enjoy about John and Julie. one of many things, by the way, but that one is the reason I wanted you two to connect, and I pray that the people will be inspired by his joy of giving. So it'd be a joy to introduce John Wieland, my friend, and I originally met John. He was a CPA comptroller at another company, and God called him out to buy a business, and that business that he purchased that was almost bankrupt in 1994 is called MH Equipment. Mm-hmm. And they've gone from 3 branches and 50 employees to over 900 employees and 30 branches. So God has really grown it. And as I mentioned, John also started his first foundation, a nonprofit that receives 10% of the MH Equipment's profits. He also teaches college graduates how to handle money responsibly. We both share a mutual friend of the past, Larry Burkett, who had a huge impact in my life and wrote a book that John and I both love called Business by the Book. Yeah. Very impactful. He's a speaker, and he's a guest preacher from time to time, has a dear wife, Julie, who I'm also friends with and in ministry together with, and 4 children, Jessica, Jennifer, Jamie, and Josiah.
And so with us, joining us today, is the author of this book that I highly recommend called Uncommon Threads, Weaving a Life Through Family, Business, and Faith by John Wieland. And John, thank you for driving in from the Peoria area, the greater Peoria area, and being a part of today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And I will say to our listeners that we're going to turn this into a bit of a Testimony Tuesday on Monday, because I'm also going to include John on tomorrow's edition, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, to talk some more about this book and some of his faith journey, because I think there are facets that'll touch all of you, whether you're close to God or far from God. I think this book, which is written for the general public, this isn't a set Christian book just for Christians to read. In fact, there's many stories that people that don't know God or don't have a vibrant faith journey are intrigued by some of the illustrations or examples he gives. In fact, my office manager, John, I think I was telling you this, when I was bragging about this book and was so encouraged by it, she went online and looked it up, and I think she either purchased it in Kindle or online, but we'll talk about that. And I think at the end of the program, we're going to give away a book or two, so be listening for that call-in time. Not now, but by the end of the program. But John, I also appreciate you, and we're going to let you talk in just a minute here, but I wanted to flesh this out. I love John and people like John that are more reluctant to being on the air. He doesn't really have interest in his name getting out there or being known or wanting to be famous. He wants God to receive the glory, which I really appreciate. And he really said, please just minimize what you say about me. I want them to know about Jesus and some of the examples in this book. So we will commit to that, John. But thank you for serving the Lord. Thank you for sharing so transparently some of your own faith journey and then being available to carve out this important time driving all the way in from the greater Peoria area and spending this time with us. We've told stories for the last hour or so. So I've really appreciated getting to know my new friend, John Wieland.
Well, thanks, Mark. I really appreciate you having me on your program. It's a high honor. You've got a great program that serves a multitude of communities. And thank you to my friend, Mike, to connecting us too. And I look forward to chatting.
Yeah, and we have found many common interests and people that we've known, like Dr. Bruce Dunn and the church that you go to, the Grace Presbyterian Church out of Peoria. Dr. Bruce Dunn, many of our listeners know, because we carried his programs even after he went to be with the Lord. Dr. Dave Dunn got all those tapes from Grace in Peoria. But anyways, I appreciate you being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. And as you know, on Mondays, we oftentimes, many times, read from Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. And so I wanted to keep with that before we got a little of John's testimony and faith journey. But we're going to read a section in chapter 5. It's actually closing out chapter 5, titled Turn Indecision into Breakthrough.
What a thrill to read about Billy Graham. In his autobiography, Just As I Am, Billy Graham tells how prayer was the key to one of the biggest decisions in his ministry. He was concluding his 1949 crusade in Los Angeles. It had been a good but unspectacular set of meetings, and he felt an urge to extend the crusade. And this is what he writes. We needed a clear sense of direction from the Lord. Grady, Cliff, Bev, and I prayed together over and over again as the last week wore on. At last, we decided to follow the example of Gideon in the Old Testament and put out a fleece, asking God to give us a decisive sign of his purpose. It came at 4:30 the next morning. Stuart Hamblin lived from 1908 to 1989. He was a popular entertainer to whom Graham had been witnessing. Called on the telephone, broken in tears. As the team prayed, Graham led Hamblin to Christ, giving them the answer about continuing the campaign. The extended crusade exploded in popularity when Hamblin shared his testimony and the national media picked up the story. The Graham campaign was a media sensation. Extraordinary conversions occurred. Celebrities became coming to the meetings and gave their lives to Christ. The meetings were extended week after week at the size of the crowd, and the numbers responding to the invitation continued to grow.
The L.A. Crusade forever changed the size and scope of Graham's ministry. He writes, "All I knew was that before it was over, we were on a journey from which there would be no looking back." Again, the team prayed for direction as to whether or not to extend the meetings. Again, God responded. A fierce storm was heading towards Los Angeles from the Pacific. If it hit the coast, it would no doubt wreak havoc with a huge tent used to hold the meetings, attending the meeting each night. This time, the prayer for release was that if God wanted them to continue, the storm would not reach Los Angeles. The next morning, the newspapers reported that the storm had surprisingly dissipated at sea before hitting Los Angeles. Organized prayer meetings for the campaign were being held all over Southern California and even across the United States. Students were praying in Christian colleges, business people were praying in offices, families were praying in their homes, and congregations were gathered for special prayer meetings. The mightiest force in the world, as Frank Laubach called prayer, undergirded me and brought the blessing of God from heaven to Los Angeles.
Because of prayer, God did many miracles during that 18-week campaign. Thousands accepted Christ as their Savior. 82% of them had never been church members. On top of that, the entire nation had been touched. In retrospect, Graham wrote, "Overnight, we had gone from being a little evangelistic team to what appeared to many to be the hope for national and international revival. Everywhere we turned, someone wanted us to come and do for them what had been done in Los Angeles. What they didn't know, however, was that we had not done it. Whatever this could be called and whatever it would become, it was God's doing. That was the whole secret of everything that happened. God had answered prayer. God had answered prayer. That was the secret of Billy Graham's success. If it can be the secret of yours, turn your problems into prayer."
And the divine timing, I think, of this, John, as it just happened to be the reading that we do today, I thought of you in this book because I know Julie's a prayer warrior, and you referenced one of the things you delight or love about her is she'll spend an hour or so each day in prayer and really is a prayer warrior. But I like the fact that this was something that clearly God was doing. Billy Graham would attest to that. And yet you've seen God do miraculous, special, unique, specific things in your life. And I was thinking of a quote that you had made once that you would be the first to admit that your success is baffling. Baffling because, you know, who are you to be overseeing such an enormous organization and the profits and such, but also baffled by God's extending such grace to you. So let's turn this into a little bit of a testimony Tuesday. And so maybe begin with a little of that faith journey where you experienced grace and knew that this wonderful God did delight in you. Because there are probably listeners now that are either far from God or don't understand God's grace, or feel they're far from being able to receive God's grace, or don't even know that there is a God that offers grace. So talk a little about your faith journey and grace.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. The thing I really liked about the reading today is that ended up being a watershed moment for the Billy Graham Crusade. And MH Equipment, we had a watershed moment as well. Julie and I, we bought the company in 1994. We were profitable through 2001. In the end of 2001, we purchased two other companies, tripled our size. People said that everything I touched turned to gold. I started believing that. And in the first 6 months of 2001, the economy turned, and we had lost over $700,000. John was not as smart as he thought he was. Hmm. Julie and I, we had always wanted to set aside funds to give back to our community to make a positive impact, but we had just never pulled the trigger. But it was at this low point, after we had lost $700,000, that we decided to start the His First Foundation, where we would give 10% of our net income to this foundation starting in July, not the following year. The management team agreed to that. And since then, by the end of this year, the His First Foundation would have received over $25 million in the last 20 years. And what I love about the foundation is that we come alongside our employees' passions, we support acts of kindness, we support secular good works, but we also support organizations that share the love of Jesus or meet the physical needs of people in His name. We are a secular company, and people ask, John, why would you support faith in business? And the answer is simple. Our world, we're crying out for equality, equal opportunity, equal access, equal standing. We all long for a day where it doesn't matter who you are or who you know or what you do or what you've done. The sad fact of the matter is there has never been, nor will there ever be, a place of perfect equality, except for one moment of time, and that was the cross of Christ.
Right.
Jesus loved all people, and He died for all people, for all time, that He may reconcile us to our Heavenly Father. And through Julie's encouragement, that was a watershed moment for MH Equipment, and we really haven't looked back yet.
And that's during a time, it's almost counterintuitive because, hey, we're losing money. This is not when we want to start saving up and be benevolent to others. We want to wait till we have some good profits, some good earnings, then we'll do it. But you felt the conviction of God, no, now's the time to do it. And you convinced and shared that with your board and the team, and they said, okay. And you know, isn't it wonderful that God responded and has blessed your organization? But He blessed you with Julie, who, as you mentioned, will pray daily, like an hour or so. When did you get in touch with her? How did God bring you two together?
Well, we actually went to the Harvard of the Midwest, which is called Western Illinois University.
Oh, yeah, the party school.
For the West, listening audience that didn't know that. And we are both resident assistants, and the leader told us there will be no dating. And out of 13 floors, there ended up being three marriages. And so I met Julie there, and the thing that attracted me to Julie was not my looks, obviously. But the first time we kind of went on a date, I asked her, where did she stand with the Lord? And she thought that was an interesting pickup line. So, that was back in 1980, and I moved to Peoria because I wanted to marry her a whole lot more than she wanted to marry me. And after some effort, she said yes.
She said yes. Now, I mentioned grace, and I know you have felt and experienced God's grace throughout the many years, like all of us. It's not one time we experience grace and then we walk faithfully and never fall short and we're always feeling loved and adored by God. But tell us that turning point in your life where you really sensed and needed His grace and accepted Jesus into your heart.
Yeah, that was actually a long, long time ago. I used to do kickboxing, and a guy I worked out with became a Jehovah's Witness, and he said I should read the Bible. And so I started reading Matthew, and I got to the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, enter by the narrow gates, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, but the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I read that and I was like, "Ooh, that's kind of scary."
Yeah.
But I thought, well, I still go to church, so I'm probably in there, and about seven verses later, it says, oh, by the way, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. It would, at the end of that verse, I realized I was in the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. And then I started understanding who he was and what he did for us. And I became a follower of Jesus Christ as a sophomore at college.
Mm. I think for many of our listeners may be unfamiliar with this graceful God that we served. He did make a way. He provided a plan. The Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where we've sinned or how far we've fallen short, that we can be redeemed. We can enter into that relationship. His grace extends to all. So if you're somebody that maybe has not entertained the fact that there's a holy God that loves and cares for you, let me encourage you to call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. There's trained counselors, great folks that will talk you through the importance of the Bible, how they have a relationship with God, who is Jesus. They can answer your various questions about knowing who God the Father is. He's a loving God. He's compassionate, full of grace. And I hope that you would make that call today or entertain the idea that he does love you and see how he responds. Well, John, we want to have you back to share a little more about your book, Uncommon Threads, Weaving a Life Through Family, Business, and Faith. With me in the studio is John Wieland, and as I often and dearly say, my roomie, Mike Hansen, but we'll have them both back tomorrow to talk a little more about this book and some of the faith journeys and a lot of other questions that I think this book can answer or help you through. I highly recommend it. You can find out more at Amazon. Just type in Uncommon Threads and John Wieland, Wieland, and tune in again tomorrow. Now, right now, the third caller, if you call 1-888-333-9466, 1-888-333-9466, the third caller will get a copy of Uncommon Threads. I think you're going to enjoy it. Share it with a friend, buy multiple copies, and pass them around. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, John Wieland, and Mike Hansen with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.